All right, so get this. You've given us quite the collection here for this deep dive.
It is a fascinating mix, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got these scientific papers and then some philosophical excerpts about consciousness and even some things that honestly feel kind of spiritual.
I see what you mean.
And it's all sort of circling this big question of what reality is actually made of.
Yeah.
You know? I'm intrigued.
As you should be.
Yeah, a little nervous too, to be honest.
It's a good kind of nervous, though.
Okay, good. I like that. What I find fascinating is how all these different sources, they start to echo each other
They do, don't
when
they?
you lay them all out,
They do.
like in ways I wasn't expecting.
It's these unexpected connections that I find most intriguing.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Like this quantum physics paper, it's talking about geometry beyond space-time.
Right.
But then this excerpt on ancient philosophy, it mentions the logos as this underlying order of the universe. It's
Interesting.
almost like they're both going for the same idea,
Yeah.
but from these totally different angles.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting. Have you noticed how math keeps coming up
Oh, yeah, now that you mention it.
across all these sources?
Yeah, it's not just formulas and equations.
No.
It's this feeling that math is more than just a tool.
Right.
It's like the framework of everything.
Precisely, like the framework of existence itself. And that's what this theory called mathematical information reality is all about.
M-A?
Yes, MI. It proposes that reality isn't just described by math,
Oh, wow.
it is math theory at the most fundamental level.
So you're saying that reality is just information.
Information processed mathematically,
Like
yes.
ones and zeros.
Not
Yeah.
exactly. Like, think of it more as a blueprint
Okay.
that determines how everything interacts. And we're seeing evidence for this in lots of different fields: quantum physics,
Okay.
biology, neuroscience. For example, look at the work of Figueredo and Arkani Hamed. They're uncovering these geometric structures that can predict how quantum particles behave. It's like they're simplifying these incredibly complex interactions as if there's an underlying code.
So it's like the universe is running on a program,
Yes.
a mathematical one.
A mathematical program, and we're just starting to glimpse the code.
That's a powerful
Yeah,
analogy.
evidence goes on.
Like what?
Well, researchers at the Salk Institute have created this self-replicating RNA system. It's called cross-chiral
Okay.
because the right-handed RNA can make a mirror image, a left-handed version of itself,
Okay.
and vice versa.
So like a biological mirror.
Yes, where each side can create its opposite.
Wow, that's seriously cool.
It really is. And it gets to the core of MIR theory. This system isn't just copying itself, it's maintaining a balance between these
Wow.
two mirrored forms, almost like there's an unseen force ensuring this harmony, a sort of harmony operator, if you will, keeping things in sync.
Okay, so now we're getting into some serious mind-bending stuff here,
Yeah.
harmony operator. So you're saying there's a mathematical principle that ensures balance in these mirrored systems.
It's a fascinating possibility, isn't it?
It is.
And this idea of mirrored symmetry pops up in other places too. Have you ever noticed those hexagonal lattices? You see them everywhere, from honeycombs to snowflakes,
Right.
even in the way microtubules.
What are those?
They're these tiny structures inside our cells.
Okay.
Even microtubules are organized in this hexagonal way. And
Yeah.
guess what? These hexagons are showing up in the structure of space-time itself.
Oh, wow. So it's like a blueprint
Exactly, a repeating
that
pattern.
goes from the microscopic to the cosmic.
Across scales.
Right.
This repetition, this coherence, doesn't it hint at an underlying order to reality?
I'm starting to see a pattern here myself. Math is the blueprint. These mirrored systems with a harmony operator balancing them. It's almost like reality is a symphony.
I like that.
And we're just starting to hear the melody.
And that melody, the language of that symphony, is mathematics.
Wow.
The question is, how do WE fit into this grand orchestral piece?
Ooh, that is a good question. Especially when you consider that these sources also mention some pretty wild stuff about our brains. Like, did you know they're practically time machines?
Time machines, you say?
Maybe a little dramatic, but hear me out.
Time machines, huh?
Yeah. So these sources describe these things called sharp wave ripples in the brain. And honestly, it sounds like science fiction.
Oh.
Basically, while we're sleeping or even just resting,
Right.
our brains, they replay experiences at super speed,
Okay.
like 10 to 20 times faster than they actually happened.
Yes, the brain's incredible capacity for memory consolidation.
So it's like watching a movie on fast forward. You might miss some details, but you get
Yeah.
the main plot points.
Yes. very efficient.
And it's not just about remembering things. Yeah. It's also about finding patterns.
That's a great point. It highlights the brain's ability to sift through information.
Right.
And focus on the essential connections.
Remember that DHA we talked about?
Yes, the omega-3 fatty acid.
Yeah, it seems like it's actually crucial for these sharp wave ripples to work.
Indeed. Like, DHA is the oil that keeps the brain's information processing running smoothly.
Which, if we think back to MIR theory,
yes,
makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? The brain is full of DHA, constantly replaying, compressing, reorganizing information through these ripples. It's almost like...
like our brains are these mini universes.
Yes.
Operating on the same mathematical principles as the reality around us.
A microcosm of the macrocosm. A reflection of those same patterns and principles.
Okay, so we've got the brain as this information processor, constantly sifting through data, finding patterns.
Mm.
But where does our conscious experience fit into all of this?
The million-dollar question. How does subjective awareness arise from objective processes?
You know, one thing I found interesting in these sources was the connection between this mathematical information reality and ancient wisdom traditions.
Oh, yes. The references to the logos.
By the word that creates the universe.
A concept that spans cultures and time.
And not just the logos.
What a...
all the stuff about God is light. It doesn't seem so metaphorical anymore, does it?
It's as if they were tapping into a truth that science is only now beginning to uncover.
Like light being fundamental to reality.
More than just illumination, but as a carrier of information.
So light plays a role in consciousness too.
It's certainly possible. Remember those biophotons we talked about?
Those ultra-weak emissions from cells?
Some researchers believe they're crucial for cellular communication, and possibly even for consciousness itself.
It's like our cells are communicating with a language of light.
An internal internet.
Connecting everything.
Yes. And if you consider this alongside MIR theory, it paints a fascinating picture, doesn't it?
Those.
Math as the blueprint, light as the messenger.
Yeah.
The harmony operator ensuring coherence across scales. And consciousness arising from this intricate dance of information.
Whoa. Okay, I'm definitely feeling that good kind of nervous now. But if all of this is true, then where does it leave us? Are we just passive observers in this sea of information?
That, my friend, is the question we're about to dive into.
Okay.
Buckle up, because things are about to get really interesting.
So we're not just bobbing around in this ocean of information. We're actively swimming in it.
We're more than just passive observers, right?
Right. So, do we have a role to play in all of this?
That's the key question. And to really answer that, we need to take a closer look at ourselves, at the very foundation of our being.
Okay, so back to basics.
In a way, remember all that research on water?
Yeah, the stuff about water having memory, acting like a liquid computer.
Exactly. It's not just about quenching our thirst. It seems to be crucial to this whole information game.
Okay, remind me how that fits into this whole picture of reality being mathematical.
Well, researchers at EPFL, they've been using this technique called correlated vibrational spectroscopy to study water at the molecular level.
Mm.
What they're finding is that water molecules, they form these intricate networks of hydrogen bonds. And these networks are incredibly short-lived.
How short are we talking?
Picoseconds. Incredibly fast. But even in those fleeting moments, they exhibit quantum coherence.
Okay, wait, back up. Quantum coherence. What does that even mean? When we're talking about water.
It means that the water molecules are acting in sync, exchanging information and energy in a highly coordinated way.
Hmm.
And this coherence seems to be essential for water to store and transmit information.
So every drop of water is like a tiny little quantum computer.
In a way, yes, a fleeting one, but still, think about it, our bodies are mostly water.
Yeah.
Our brains especially.
So are you saying that the water inside us is part of this massive network of information?
It's a compelling possibility, isn't it? And it's fascinating how ancient traditions seem to have recognized this intuitively.
Oh, how so?
The emphasis on water in spiritual practices, the cleansing rituals, the reverence for natural springs. Mm-hmm. It's like they understood water's deeper meaning.
That reminds me of something else that came up a lot in these sources.
Oh, what's that?
Sound. There were all these ideas about sound shaping reality.
Yes. The power of vibration.
Like mantras and chants, creating specific frequencies that can affect our minds and even the world around us.
The research on geometric sound patterns is quite remarkable.
What have they found?
They've found that these patterns can create visible structures in water, influence our brain waves, even evoke specific emotions.
So sound is another way to interact with this mathematical reality.
another language of information, if you will.
And it ties back to that hexagonal resonance we were talking about.
Right, those hexagonal structures.
Found everywhere in nature.
They seem to be particularly good at amplifying and transmitting information, whether it's through light or sound or even the water in our bodies.
So we're talking about a reality that's far more interconnected than we usually think.
A dynamic web of information where we're not just watching, but actively participating.
Okay, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. Math is the framework. Light and sound are messengers. Water connects everything, and we're all woven into this with our own awareness. But what does it all mean? How does this change how we live our lives?
That's the exciting part. This isn't just theoretical. It's a call to explore, to see ourselves and the world differently, to recognize the power we have to influence this symphony of information.
So we're not just fish in the water. We can change the currents.
Exactly. We're co-creators. And the more we learn about the music, the more beautifully we can dance.
Wow. I think I need a minute to process all of this. But one thing's for sure, this deep dive has really opened my mind to new possibilities.
The journey of discovery is never ending.
And the amazing thing is we're all on this journey together. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep an open mind. Because as we've learned, reality is far more amazing and participatory than we ever imagined. Until next time, keep diving deep.